Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Yeah, I don't really care about the ranking. It matters on one day, and that's today. I'm not here to win February. I'm here to try to win football games in the fall.
Great to have you in on Thursday. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Scott Frost. There'll be T-shirts of that, posters of that quote, maybe tattoos of it. I've seen some folks get tattoos on, you know, by their rib cage. Tougher than me. Tough. Kind of a theme from yesterday. Colton's ready to say, yep, got me a tattoo on my ribs. He's got more ink than Bic. Okay, Mike Babcock is coming up. 15 minutes away. Historian, author, Hall of Famer. We'll get Babber's thoughts on the Frost class. We'll get Babber's thoughts on Husker baseball because they are going to warm weather shortly. And get the season underway. We'll get Babber's thoughts on Tim Miles and Nebraska basketball. I haven't talked to Babbers for a long time, and I've missed Mike Babcock. So he'll be with us. We will have the full Monty of Philadelphia parade celebration. Why? You know I don't like Philadelphia. Doesn't mean it wasn't entertaining today. Jason Kelce, both ends of the spectrum, from quiet and thoughtful, and your heart went out to him, to whatever costume he was wearing today at City Hall. Whew. He got loose, and he's a different dude. You need some of those big dumb animals with a screw loose on the line of scrimmage, and you can see why guys love playing with him. So we will have the edited version of Jason Kelce's ode to Philly fan. If I'm either quarterback, I'm getting a U-Haul and leaving. You've done your job for the rest of the world. Coming up next hour, Jerry DiNardo, Uncle Jerry, going to be with us. Big Ten Network, get his thoughts on Nebraska's class. BTN did a monstrous job of recruiting coverage yesterday for the conference. We'll get his take on the East, the West, and those teams Nebraska's facing on the road and at home. And they're doing that in the living rooms. And we'll see what Coach DiNardo thinks of Scott Frost and the job he did. Can tap the line. Schillingbridge Cork and Tap House lets you do that. 466-3776. 466-3776. 1-800-825-5865. So if you missed it on HailVarsity.com, they kind of did the drive-through version for your convenience of the press conference. It was all good. And it was really entertaining to listen to if you're just kind of a throwback Nebraska fan, or you're a soon-to-be Nebraska fan. Maybe you've kind of backed off your Husker football fandom for a while because the team's been 4-8 or 9-4 or whatever your reason. You've just dialed it back. But now I think the state and most of the world is in wearing red ends because of what Frost has done. And there's that type of excitement. We'll spend some time on some of the comments that really lead to bigger points heading into this spring and into the fall. Now, the coaches got to hang out at the Rococo last night. Dr. Petey was there. Derek Peterson was there with Hail Varsity. And listen, some of the comments the coaches made on, you know, the players they had, where Nebraska's at, I thought that was pretty insightful, pretty real. And that's really my takeaway from the last 24 hours. You've got a real coach that's really passionate, and you've got a coach that's passionate and real and pretty straightforward, and he's not going to mess around anymore. Nebraska football's not going to mess around anymore. They'll go after high-profile guys but they're not going to play the games. And once you get to campus, it's either work or lose your spot. That's preaching to the choir, to decades of Nebraska fans. But there'll be some reality to it. It is a new sheriff. And you have proof of that with what Frost is saying. And what I'm interested in here is what can be done from a development and a culture standpoint. How long is long enough? And from an expectation standpoint, you've got the whole world wearing a red in right now, and they're painting their face red and white. Because that's how jacked you are as a Nebraska fan. And I get it, man. I'm excited to cover the team. Really excited to cover the team. See what they can do. Not expecting a win in Ann Arbor. I'm not expecting a win in Ohio State. I think Frost is, his attitude towards it's why the hell not. I mean, if you want my honest read on that type of personality he has. But from a Nebraska standpoint, you're so hungry for greatness again. And I think there's this expectation out there because of him hitting all the notes at Central Florida and then now back in Lincoln in the recruiting region, that arena as well, the way he carries himself, what he stands for, who he played for, what he talks about, all those things. I think if you're a Nebraska fan, you have this vision that he's going to come in, snap his fingers, and it's going to be 10-2. And it very well could be. I don't know that it'll be 10-2 year one. I don't know that it's going to be 10-2 year two. I don't know how long the growing pains may take with this staff transition. Doesn't appear that there's going to be any growing pains in recruiting. If you jump from the mid-90s to composite 22. But I'm just wondering where you're at as a Nebraska fan with everything that is going right with your coach, with the staff, with the recruiting, with the strength and conditioning. I mean, does that translate immediately to Big Ten West superiority? A lot of tough ball games. And you just don't know. And I don't think he knows what he's got yet at quarterback. We'll get to some of his comments on the offensive line. And I don't know that he knows, like, if there's a toughness meter, where his team's at. It's not been discussed publicly. All that's been mentioned publicly is where they need to go or what he expects, what he demands. We'll get to the phones here. You can tap the line, Chilling Bridge Court, can tap house 466-377-6800-825-5865. Brian's on the line. Brian, go ahead. Thanks for calling, sir.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Chris. I was 8 years old during the 97 season. I remember it. I mean, I don't remember the start of the season, but I remember the last part. I remember the miracle in Missouri, and I remember the speech that Scott Frost had that he gave after the win against Tennessee, basically saying, "What now, Michigan?" You know, and just that, I remember that tenacity. Now everybody in the state is going crazy. I get that. But at the same time, pump the brakes. We don't know yet. There's so many unknowns. I mean, yeah, you may have a great recruiting class. He did what he could with what he had. But at the same time, let's pump the brakes a little bit. I'm excited.
There's this excited. Brian, there's this expectation that he's just going to keep over delivering, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and then there's reality.
Yeah, and 20 years of hurt and 9-4 seasons and crap like that, it's got me numb as a Husker fan, and I just don't know yet if I want to put my heart into it just to get hurt again. You know, it's like that really hot girl in high school. She's throwing these signs out. She's like, oh, I might want you, but I don't know. And then when you put yourself out there, she throws you to the wolves.
She just likes your car and took your keys.
Yeah.
No, listen, and a lot of Nebraska fans are thawing out from that numbness. Thanks for the call, Brian. Appreciate you listening.
Yeah, thank you.
Really do, man. Listen, you're thawing out from it, but I think you're also super intelligent to know that year one might not all be roses, and that's not for any lack of faith or belief that he'll do well. It's just that year ones, from Nick Saban to Bobby Bowden to Tom Osborne to John Wooden, and I know I'm going down the list here. Year ones are brutal. When you have great year ones, typically, the guy, your predecessor, left you an incredible pantry. Think about Helfrich. Scott was a part of that, of course. But they were right there for a championship. Look at Uncle Fester, the former Miami coach. Got him forgetting his real name. Longtime assistant at Oklahoma State. Anywho, Uncle Fester is what I've always called him. He won a championship after Butch Jones left. Did I say Butch Jones? The other Butch from Miami. I'm drawing a freaking blank today. I'm so sorry. But there's my point there. So, listen, the excitement level's at an all-time high. You sold out the spring game in a day and a half. Larry Coker, Moats, God love you. And you're ready for greatness again, aren't you? But you just don't know how soon it can happen. We're going to talk to Mike Babcock, his take on how things have gone. God, Larry Coker, come on down. We'll also dive into some of the recruits with Ralph Brown. Ralph is so good at staying on top of Nebraska football. He has some thoughts on some of the difference makers. Jerry DiNardo coming up. Here is Scott Frost, and this is one of the things you got to look at that is real, and that is your offensive line. And one of the main themes with Frost has been working hard, being tough, and outworking. And oh yeah, by the way, be mature enough to do your job as a student athlete. And it's going to take some investment on your part. It's not just going to happen. And that's something that the perception is needs to change. A high level of entitlement used to exist down there. How do you eradicate that? Here's Coach Frost from yesterday on that offensive line.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a process. I like the talent that we have up front. I really do. I like the body types and the size. We got to change their bodies. The Nebraska that I knew and the strength and conditioning and what was expected of them and what kids look like physically, that's not really what we're walking back into, but that's what Zach Duvall's here for. And I think we got guys on the team that can be great offensive linemen, but we got to go to work in the weight room. We got to cut our body fat. We got to eat right. We got to get stronger, and we got to get in better shape.
I can get you there. Here's how it needs to happen. You need to do it. And if you're not going to do it, I'm going to find somebody who will. So that is part of this perfect storm that has you at 1,000% excitement level, topped off with recruiting. Now, what we're all trying to figure out here, and you'll have a better idea and feel by the time spring ball gets here and then into fall, how far have they come from winter to fall with kind of that mindset change. And the last thing I'll say here before we give Colton some crap about the Arizona State Nebraska look, it's fighting in my mind. Washington can do it because he's picking between two schools. You do it every Thursday because you like to irritate me. You have this style of player that Frost wants to get, and that is phenomenal speed that'll fit his offense. But you have to also get the Adrian Martinez type that's mature, He's 18 going on 30 with a minivan and two little ones. That's the combo you need. And the more kids you can get that are mature and fantastic athletes that are dedicated to football, they love the idea of practicing every day. They love being a Nebraska football player versus the work that goes into being a Nebraska football player versus a dude who just wants on the team to wear the gear and maybe kind of strut around. You want to put the work in to earn it. And you're getting athletes that have that grind. It's almost baseball season. That's what Erstad's about, is grinding. Well, you need that in football too, and that's what Nebraska used to have. That's what Frost means when he talks about the way things kind of used to be. If you can combine the fantastic athlete with the work ethic to match the athleticism, there you go. And that's the blueprint they're going back after. Mike Babcock's going to be with us. Time to get to Madonna Proactive. 56th and Pine Lake is where the location is. If you haven't had a chance to check out Madonna Proactive, I invite you by to take the tour. Stop by. And they have something for you when it comes to personal training, beginner or advanced classes, a variety of fitness equipment, three pools in Lincoln, including Lincoln's only AquaTrack. Great classes to choose from. Get in shape. Health, fitness, wellness. It's Madonna Proactive, 402-420-0000, madonnaproactive.org. Mike Babcock up next.
He's in his 30s. But sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Maurice Washington has spoken. Colton, zip up your sweatshirt. You've seen the zip up and then discarded the zip up, and you've just got your in and out t-shirt on now. Well played. We welcome in historian, author, Hall of Famer, and 40 years and counting of excellence covering Nebraska football, Mike Babcock at MD Babs on Twitter. Babbers, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing well. You know, you could summarize all that by just saying old guy, and then, you know, we'd be quicker into it. How about that?
Well, I've never been accused of being swift, okay? and no, you need all the accolades because you deserve them, my friend. And I want to get your thoughts here on Frost and his press conference. And, you know, just thinking about yesterday, and as crazy as yesterday was with coverage and coaches and players about, you know, being part of the class. I mean, Mike, you've been around a long time covering Nebraska. Do you remember a time when things have been at this peak from an excitement standpoint? And you point to the sellout of the spring game. You point to the tour that's going on with the assistants and Coach Frost. You point to how well he closed and how well he finished from a prospect and recruiting standpoint.
Well, you know, obviously everything's magnified by social media, and so that's part of it. That's part of why we have to look at it that way. But no, I think that people have gone through some tough times with Husker football, and everybody, it goes back to the saying, you know, every program has gone through a downswing and come out of it, and Nebraska's downswing has been a little bit longer than people want to acknowledge. But the thing that impressed me about Scott the most, and he certainly looks like he could still play, was his comment about getting the right guys to fit your system. I think that that's one of the things that sometimes gets lost in recruiting, because so much is made of, five-star, four-star, three-star, whatever. How many of those four-star guys did you get? You want to be in a situation where you're not getting those guys and then trying to plug them in. You want to look for guys that fit your system. And you want to have a system, first of all. You want to know what it is you want to do. And that's a very basic thing, and it doesn't sound like a great insight, but that's the thing that made Osborne so successful. If you go back and look And I know these things get changed as time passes, and you look back, it's better than it was. But Tom's recruiting classes were typically not rated that highly. Now, in retrospect, you know, they were, because they, you know, the guys would be successful maybe, and it's like, well, that was a good recruiting class. But it was more of get the guys that, you know, first of all, have an idea of what you want to do, and then have an idea of the guys that fit what you want to do, that can come in and do fill those roles. And that's what Scott, that's the sense that I got from Scott, was that that's how they're approaching recruiting. And, you know, the quote that you began the program with tonight about, you know, I'm here to be successful in the fall, not when recruiting. You know, that underscores it for me. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm an old guy, and so I look at old school ways, and I know that things change, but some things don't change. And that's one of those things that doesn't change. Recruit to a system. Know what it is you want when you go into the recruiting process. Guys that fit your culture, you know, that's sometimes overused word, but guys that fit your culture and guys who fit your system and have a system. And I think to some extent Nebraska's gotten away from that. And I really think that it, at any school, it's important, but it's most important in Nebraska. You've got to do that because of your situation, geographic situation.
Mike Babcock's with us, Hail Varsity Radio at MD Babs on Twitter. Can catch Mike, of course, in the magazine and HailVarsity.com. Babbers, a thought here on something that Frost said yesterday as well. And this was when he was touching base with Coach Osborne, and Coach consulted, but they were really careful from a rule standpoint, right? Well, 60% of kids that went to Nebraska to play ball ended up starting. I mean, did you remember hearing that yesterday?
Yeah, I remember hearing that, and he was talking about.
Does that
Nebraska.
Blow you away?
Kids from Nebraska.
Yeah.
Well, no, it doesn't. But again, you know, I look at it from a. From maybe a different perspective than people in this day and age, but you know, Nebraska guys. That was the other thing that I came away with. You know, his sort of underscoring the importance of getting Nebraska kids in a program. I really think that that's important. Again, for Nebraska, more so than maybe any other state, any other school, is to get those Nebraska kids, because they bring not only ability but attitude. And that's the thing, you know. I've probably said this before, but it's always stuck with me. You know that Trev Alberts talked about. You know, he was a scholarship recruit, highly recruited. He comes in, and he said he remembered as a freshman sitting across the study table from Gerald Armstrong, a walk-on player, tight end, and he said I saw how hard that walk-on player worked. A kid from Nebraska, and he said, I didn't want to be outworked by him, so it pushed me to work harder. And I think that's part of it, is that those guys come in with that determination to be successful. You look back, since Devaney was a coach in 62, a little after that, Nebraska, I think, has had 23 All-Americans from Nebraska, from the state of Nebraska.
Wow.
And you look at the definitive you know, offensive players, Johnny Rogers, Omaha. Dave Remington, Omaha. There are Nebraska guys. Rick Bonas was a two-time All-American. Bellevue, Nebraska. Nebraska has had tremendous success. Nebraska kids come in. Look at those national championship teams. How many of those starters were Nebraska guys? I was putting together a list the other day. There was something like 30-some starts of six or more games in a season during those three national championship teams for Osborne were Nebraska guys. You know, Outland Trophy winners. Nebraska's won four Outland Trophies, two Lombardi Awards. Two of the three Heisman Trophy winners have been Nebraska guys. Nebraska has had an impact, and I don't think that changes.
I don't think it changes. The only thing that's changing is probably the emphasis on it. I mean, 40, you look at 45, 46 kids coming in from yesterday and 20 walk-ons, and they are very pumped about beefing that up and getting the numbers up so everyone's being developed and everyone's practicing. And Mike Babcock's with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Babbers, want to switch gears about 4 minutes here. Husker baseball gets rolling here shortly. What's your outlook for Coach Erstad and this team?
Well, you know, optimism, obviously. Coach Erstad this morning said that the players are optimistic. They think they're pretty good, you know, going into that thing. The difficult thing is that I saw the Collegiate Baseball Writers Association preseason top 35, one Big Ten team in it, Indiana, at 24, and four teams receiving votes. I think Nebraska, Iowa, Michigan, I forget who the other one was, whether it was Ohio State or who it was, but you know, that tells me that, you know, the non-conference season and early season stuff is going to be really important for that RPI thing. You know, the conference just doesn't have the respect. It's going to be up for grabs, I think, in the conference. And so Nebraska needs to get off to a fast start, or, you know, a good start. Let's put it that way. You know, I think if it can do that, obviously it's going to be competitive in the Big Ten. You got a shot there. You got another opportunity to get to an NCAA tournament. Now, Nebraska is, 0-4 the last 2 years in the NCAA tournament games, and hadn't done too well there. But, you know, get that offense going. I think the Huskers have an opportunity to do that, even though they lost Lensman. You know, with Lensman in that starting lineup and the first two pitchers, first two guys you got out there, Alvarado and Lensman, there was some heat there, but I still think that their pitching can be pretty good, and they got a little bit of experience offensively, so I think there's reason for optimism.
Couple minutes here, Mike. Thought on Nebraska basketball, the tear they're on, and how you feeling about Danson?
Well, I think Nebraska has a really good chance to get into the NCAA tournament if they keep it up. You know, it's impressed me. Because early in the season, I thought, well, this team is not consistent enough. And there are still stretches, you know, where there's some where things sort of fade a little bit. But I've been impressed, and I've been wrong about this team. I think it's better than I anticipated. And, you know, they work together. And you hear a lot about how the chemistry is good on the team. I think that's right. I think that's an important part of it. Is that they have good chemistry. So I'm optimistic. I think they have an opportunity to get to the NCAA tournament, but they're not in a position where they can let down. You know, they've got to play well down the stretch. There's no question about that.
Babbers, a quick thought here on the issue coming out here, the Hail Varsity recruiting issue, about 60 seconds here.
Oh, you know, those guys are a lot smarter than I am that are doing that recruiting stuff. So it's going to be it's going to be top notch. There's some really good, you know, you can't get enough of that stuff. And you know, we got the guys to put it together. So Jacob and Greg Smith and Derek Peterson, they've done a really good job. People are going to really appreciate that issue. It's great. 90,000 people going to the spring game, sell out. You know, this is a must have too.
Good stuff. Mike, we'll get caught up again. Love your thoughts today. Appreciate your time, sir.
Hey, great talking to you guys.
See you. Take care. Mike Babcock with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at MD Babs on Twitter. Like his thoughts there on Frost and the direction things are going. Good insight on Husker baseball. Babbers was down there to check out what Coach Erstad had to say. And Mike's feeling good. I have not purchased my dance shoes yet. I think they're one of the best teams in college basketball. Pound for pound, I think they're a nightmare to mess with. Let's hope they get the chance. Okay, we'll spend some more time on Scott Frost, Husker football. Jerry DiNardo, 20 minutes away of BTN with Hail Varsity.
Chime in, 402-466-ESPN, or email the show, chris@hailvarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Red Zealot's too old.
Ah, yes. It was a freak show in Philadelphia today. You'll hear the full rundown of one Jason Kelce at center. Coming up in a little bit, Jerry DiNardo, Big Ten Network. His thoughts on the Big Ten classes, how they came together. His thoughts on Nebraska, Urban, Penn State, Michigan, Sparty, and the West. Can tap the line, Schilling Bridge Court, can tap house. Let's do that, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Some thoughts here as we put a wrap on this class. Really not much time to react to it yesterday from the press conference, that is. A quick reminder about your friends from AgriGold. You might notice that different soybean sign in your neighbor's field this year. That's right, it's AgriGold. Customers now have access to select soybean varieties direct to their farm, the AgriGold way, with high expectations for every seed that goes into the ground. The approach to soybeans is no different. High-performance soybeans from a brand you already know. For more info, visit AgriGold.com. Okay, so focus and needs. Two words spent a lot of time on, and Coach Frost was asked yesterday about those needs. How do you feel as a Nebraska fan with this roster? Do you think the needs were met pretty well? Here's Coach Frost.
When you're taking over a 4-8 team, there's a lot of needs. We didn't want to focus on one position or other position. Really, with the short amount of time we had to recruit, we want to take the best players we could take. So there might be one or two positions where we took more than we wanted, and a couple other positions we'd like to have another guy to fill out a roster spot. In general, we feel good about every player that we got. There were some glaring needs. We needed a young quarterback. Our depth and the numbers at receiver and DB were nowhere near the number that we'd like to carry, so we definitely needed to get some guys in defensive backfield and out wide on offense. We got the guys we wanted for the most part at those positions and feel great about who we got. In years going forward, we'll be able to balance out the roster and get the right numbers at each position based on what we'd like to have. This year, with a short amount of time, it was just more about getting the best players we could get.
Okay, so there was a decision made between the juggling act of getting a team ready to beat Auburn and recruiting and evaluating and knowing when to jump off of a kid and stay on or show up a little bit late in the process, like Maurice Washington, December, and still get him. You had all of those things moving at the same time. And for Frost to go, okay, yeah, man, maybe there's some areas we needed more help in. Well, let's just go get some ballers. Let's go get some guys we really like. Let's go get some football players that want to be here. Let's go get some dudes that have the right attitude. We'll make them good football players, but are they coming in with that right approach? And if it's not 100%, is it at least 50? So that to me was a calculated decision. What are you chasing? Are you chasing a maximum of two offensive tackles? Are you chasing a maximum of two rush-ins? Well, yes. What'd you end up with? You ended up with two. And then you kind of loaded up on three athletes that can help you at some different spots in the secondary. I mean, he focused and got in with who he could get and also who he liked. There's some gray area with that. Who can you get? Who do you like? And who can you live with? And he did that. And it's just going to get better because they have more time. It also sets the expectation higher. As that's kind of an ongoing theme today, great expectations. And the reality of when those hit. So I like what he had to say about their approach and why they did things, why they did their business the way they did it. And it's smart. Is it going to pay off in 3 or 4 years? Don't know. But they have a pretty strong conviction to it. Here's the other thing. He's not new to transition. I mean, he has been part of the Chip Kelly years, and then Chip leaves and the handoff to Helfrich. That's a transition class. You still have him as your coordinator at the time, or he got promoted to coordinator, but you have a new head coach. That's not the same as Chip being at Oregon. And then when he left and he went to Central Florida, and he inherited what he inherited. He's been through this rodeo. Now, here's the question I'd like to know. 4-8's better than 0-12, but how big a mess is in the locker room? How big a mess is down at Memorial Stadium? And you just don't know. Guys probably want to win. Does everybody, though? Toughness, another theme. And I really liked this about what the team needs to be and who leads that charge.
The last three quarterbacks I've coached have been tough. Mackenzie Milton's one of the toughest kids I've been around. Marcus, Vernon Adams. Usually a team takes on the qualities of its leaders, whether it's the coaches or a leader on the field. I want a tough quarterback, too. Coach Osborne used to run me if I ran out of bounds instead of lowering my shoulder. I don't know if I'll ask our guys to do that or not, but I want everybody on the team to know they're tough. Nebraska football used to be built on being physical, being tough, working harder than the other team. And there's some pieces that have been missing here that we're going to try to get back.
There he is. It's what it is. Here's how it's going to happen. Here's how it worked. And you got to have the right guys, just like Babers was talking about with system, knowing what you want to do, knowing what players you want to fit, what you want to do offensively. Well, you need it that way too, locker room-wise and culture-wise, with personality. And the one thing I look at is, okay, you've got a couple of dudes at the running back spot that we've been raving about for 2 days. Greg Bell, really talented guy. Greg Bell's had to go to JUCO. That would hack most of us off, having to go to junior college. Chip on shoulder. You heard Maurice Washington's coach down at Trinity Christian talk about the chip on Maurice's shoulder about the ineligibility ruling in California. Comes in with something to prove. And then you have a guy that's been through a lot personally in life, and Adrian Martinez, that still has a really good attitude and outlook in the world when most of us would double bird the world. Not Adrian. You got mature guys. That's part of this evaluation process. Besides, does an SEC school want him? Besides, you know, is Urban in on him? Besides 40 time? Besides vertical jump? How do you kind of persevere through ups and downs? That's so key to the evaluation process and something I feel pretty good about with Frost and his staff. Time will tell with it. We'll wind down hour one. BTN's Jerry DiNardo 15 minutes away. Ralph Brown coming up next hour. And the show that was Jason Kelce of Philadelphia Football Today. All coming up. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Gonna bring Colton Stone, 80s action star, in here. You and your pals follow recruiting. You're more measured with it. But are you pretty geeked about 22? Depending on the number Frost doesn't pay attention to, other than the 22 instead of the 94.
I think the move to 22 is bigger than the number being 22.
I think you're right.
It's, and even if it would have been, they moved to 40, 35, you know, somewhere, just like if they would, as long as they moved inside like that top 40, I think that's still a big deal. 22 is awesome. Being inside the top 25 is awesome, but just not being at 94, I think, looks a lot better.
Yeah. I mean, 94, it's good on your spelling test when you were a kid.
Right.
It's really bad if that's what the thermometer says. I'm trying to get out of school.
Right.
What else is 90? Good year. Great year. If you're a Nebraska fan, football and basketball. And baseball. I mean, that was Erstead's year. So, but yeah, the jump is more impressive than the final number, even though the final number is pretty good. Mm-hmm. And that's what we'll talk to Jerry about, because Jerry's big into numbers. He follows it. He loves recruiting. I think he's insanely impressed by what Nebraska's done. We'll get more out of him, just the whole body of work, and kind of get his take, too, on Ohio State and the Shiano thing and Javonte Jean-Baptiste, if he'll go that route with us, and just kind of where he sees the Big Ten going. Because you got to feel pretty good where I know Sparty's got some stuff going on, but they had a bounce back foot. I mean, just on field, they had a bounce back football season. Ohio State was tremendous. Penn State was no one you wanted to mess with. And the Big Ten's kind of been like looking at their watch going, okay, Nebraska, it's time, brother. Mm-hmm. Iowa had one shining moment against Ohio State. Mm-hmm. And depending on the Iowa fan you ask, the Memorial Stadium bludgeoning. That's probably old hat to them by now. Mm-hmm. So in the West is, you know, Purdue's not a tire fire anymore.
No, they're getting better.
So there you go. So the league did pretty well.
I just try not to put too much weight into recruiting. I think I've told you that before. I'm worried about what they do on campus.
Sure.
What they're doing in the weight room, what they do on the field. I think Nebraska fans
are in a total agreement with you, but that's all you've had to lean on. Mm-hmm. Is the sale of hope.
Right.
The last few years.
Which is fair.
Yeah.
That's fine.
It's going to get better. Here's who's coming in. Well, did they stick around? Did they make an impact? You're still waiting. And there's just kind of a no-nonsense, no BS, no fluff here with Frost and Company. No fluff with Rick and Sauter Heyman. They have the Valentine's Day gift for you. More importantly, for her. How about the Time and Eternity Diamond Pendant starting at $99? The Valentine's Day gift that she'll say, wow, that's special, that's important, and she'll know how much you care when you give her the gift of Time and Eternity. 12th and O, downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln, around Weston, Grand Islands, where you see Sauter Heyman. And talk to Rick about the Time and Eternity Diamond Pendant starting at $99 today.
Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Thanks for your time. Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, Husker Hall of Famer Ralph Brown coming up in 25 minutes. An All-American at Notre Dame. You watch him throughout football season and on signing day, both of them, both signing days with the Big Ten Network. Jerry DiNardo back with us at Jerry DiNardo on Twitter. Coach, how are we doing?
Doing great, Chris. How are you?
Doing all right. What do you feel on that signing day in February? You went through so many of them.
Well, it's probably more like what you feel in December now when I was going through it. But, you know, it's a big day. It's an anxious day. It's kind of the culmination of a lot of hard work, usually a lot of satisfaction. You know, you always wish your class would have been better, but you never think it's bad. So you kind of console yourself that we signed a good class. But, you know, it's been a long time since I've been involved with the National Letter other than just covering it for the ESPN and Big Ten Network.
Yeah, and you've been covering it, like you said, for quite a few years. And what did you think of Nebraska and Coach Frost, how they ended up closing? You had 13 in December, 13 kids get signed in December, and 11 in February for a total of 24.
I thought it was one of the big stories in the Big Ten, and probably one of the big stories in the country. You know, there's a couple things that, you know, I think we'll remember this class, remember about this class, the double signing, which is, I think, a progress. I think they might have to tweak the rule a little bit, but I liked it. Ohio State and Penn State continue just to be far and away better than everybody else. And I think the other big story is Nebraska, and I think the West is getting better, not only Nebraska, but, you know, you look at Scott Frost's class, you have to believe that this isn't as good as his class is going to be next year, with the thinking that if he could do this well in this short amount of time, let's give him an entire year with junior paid visitation, you know, which Sean Eichhorst really spearheaded and really made it happen more than any other administrator in the country. And I think it's going to help Nebraska more than it's helped any other team in the country. So I think it was a good day for the Big Ten, a good day for the West, and especially a good day for Nebraska.
With Coach Frost and kind of his mentality, it's a throwback mentality, and that's a compliment. It's more about fit and kind of feel with what he wants to do speed-wise offensively. A thought from you here with Nebraska, and you say they're the big story. How soon can Nebraska get back taking this excitement level that's just at its peak, right? And then getting everything moving the right direction for on field. I mean, how soon? I mean, I think there's this feel in Nebraska, Coach, that the fans think that, okay, he did this so quickly at Central Florida, it can happen in Lincoln too.
Well, the expectations are certainly different. And I think, you know, sustainability is really important. You know, you look at what Jeff Brohm has done at Purdue. I mean, he took about the opposite situation. There was no enthusiasm probably there, and maybe a little enthusiasm for his hire, and then he just set the place on fire. So I think the Nebraska fans, I think it's safe to say if Jeff can do it in West Lafayette, we certainly can make improvement our very first year in Lincoln. You know, the word of caution is, you know, Jim Harbaugh won, I think, 10 games his first year. And he played quarterback at Michigan, and he knew the culture, and everybody was so excited. They were out of their minds. And this year they went 8-5. And they were fourth in the East. And so I don't think there's any question Scott has gotten off to a fast start. I think the fast start will continue through next season. You know, sustaining the expectations of a sold-out spring game, a best class in the West his first year, sustaining and building on that is a lot harder than starting it at a place like Nebraska and a place like Michigan, as we have found out with Jim Harbaugh.
Well, you're right. It's that ability to sustain and do the long haul of consistency, right? And
You know, Chris, I'll interrupt you for a second. I apologize.
No, you're
when
fine.
Jim was in the Big Ten, it was the Big Two and the Little Eight, right? When Scott was in the Big Eight, it was the Big Two and the Little Six. The landscape has changed. It's much harder for Scott to do what Tom Osborne did. It's much harder for Jim Harbaugh to do what Bo Schembechler and Lloyd Carr did. That's what the fans don't understand. I shouldn't say that. That's what the fans may not understand. Not this year, not yesterday. They can have some success in 2018. But don't they want a championship? The Michigan people didn't just want Jim to come back and have a good team. They wanted him to beat Ohio State and win a national championship. What do people want Scott Frost to do? They don't want him to sell out the spring game and have a good first class. They want him to win a championship. And that's harder to do now than it's ever been for Nebraska and really for everybody else in the country.
It is difficult because you've mentioned Purdue, how they're kind of climbing up. Nebraska's had a devil of a time with Iowa. Wisconsin seems to just, man, they do their thing, kind of the old Nebraska way, where, okay, they're 40-ish somewhere in the recruiting rankings. 2 years later, those kids will be developed and pancaking your defensive linemen if you're in the Big Ten West. I mean, that's how it's been going. They go win an Orange Bowl down in Miami. I mean, Wisconsin's hot. They're rolling. And then, yeah, you walk in. There's just no easy week. That said, you've got the expectation and the fever pitch going on with the spring game sellout, with the recruiting class to jump from mid-90s to 22. I mean, it's hitting all the right notes right now, but it's not even the fall, and that's kind of Frost's focus. To get there, you need some ball players in your system. Is there a kid or two from Nebraska's class that you're pretty excited about?
Well, let me go back, you know, before I answer that question. I do think Nebraska has a better road than Michigan has.
Sure,
Michigan
I agree.
Is in the same division as Penn State and Michigan State, and it's Ohio State. It's a little bit different. I do think a fair expectation pretty quickly is for Nebraska to be playing for the West in the last week of the season and winning the West in fairly short time. I don't think that's unreal and unfair for the fans. There's no reason that Nebraska can't catch or beat Iowa, Wisconsin, Minnesota. I mean, that is a lot easier than what Michigan has to do. It's what happens after that. To me, that's when, you know, we're going to find out if Scott Frost is the answer. It's not going to be in the spring game. It's not going to be winning the West. It's going to be winning the Big Ten and being one of the four playoff teams. That's a fair expectation for a Nebraska fan down the road. Mm-hmm. But all I'm saying is, it's harder to accomplish than it used to be at Nebraska. I guess, Martinez, to answer your question, you know, I ended the show yesterday with, you know, I can't remember what the question was, you know, anyone in this class.
Is there a kid or two in this class that you're impressed by?
Yeah, Martinez, can you hear me?
No, you're good. Go ahead.
I guess Martinez is the answer. Now, you know, we used to cover recruiting a little deeper on weekdays. We used to watch a lot of tape and show tape. We haven't done that for the last couple of years, so I haven't really studied the personnel as much. I follow the big picture instead of the more macro than micro. But Martinez jumps out at me, and I said this yesterday on the show, Chris, if, in fact, you find a quarterback that's good enough to sustain the next two or three years early in your tenure when you take over a program, it's a huge boost. One of Michigan's problems is they haven't found a quarterback. Ohio State, Penn State both had quarterbacks as they built their programs, and so did Michigan State. So if Martinez is the right guy for Scott Frost, man, that is a huge get for the first year.
Jerry DiNardo with a few more minutes. Hail Varsity Radio at BTN. Jerry DiNardo, it's at Jerry DiNardo on Twitter, but you catch him on the Big Ten Network and part of the recruiting special yesterday. Coach, why do so many big-time programs miss on quarterbacks? Is it they're not patient enough with the kid, or the kid isn't patient enough to fight through the problems?
Well, I think a little bit of both. The only other thing I would add to that, I think both those things are true. The other thing is, you know, the only quarterbacks that are out there right now are spread quarterbacks, mm-hmm. because all the high schools are running the spread. So if you're a traditional team like Wisconsin, you know, Alex Hornibrook is, you know, he's got a long way to go, but there's not that many pro formation guys out there. And then the spread guys that everybody gets, most of them can run like heck, run outrun all their high school competition. They don't throw the ball all that much in high school. And then sometimes when they get to the college game, the pass game with these spread quarterbacks isn't quite as good as it needs to be in the college level. I think recruiting quarterbacks is an all new challenge in college football because the spread's taken over the game. I watched the Super Bowl. It looks like it may have taken over pro football as well.
No, absolutely. I mean, you look at Foles and the college offense did real work on New England, but you're right. So what do you do then as a coach? Do you just keep trying to get that guy that can be your three-year starter? Do you just keep hitting reset at the quarterback spot? Obviously, with the kids you have on campus at that position, you work with and teach, but the patience side of things from quarterback prospects isn't real long either. If they're not winning the job and there for 3 years, they're gonzo.
Yeah, I think you just, you know, until you find a guy that can do both, you keep looking and you play with who you have. You know, I mean, JT, as good as he is and as many records as he's broken, you know, he couldn't throw the ball well enough for them to win the national championship.
Yep.
And they had all the other tools. And so it'll be interesting if – I can't think of the kid's name who's going to take over next year, but he throws the ball better. So I think you just keep recruiting, but if you find a guy that can do both, you can find a guy who can run. If you can find a guy who can pass, I think you're in good shape in Scott's offense. If you don't have one that can do both on campus, you just recruit until you get mm-hmm. one, and you just kind of tweak your offense knowing that you might not be able to throw the ball well enough.
With Nebraska, and we touched on their recruiting rankings and where they're at, Coach, and just the job that Coach Frost has done and the sustaining of what you kind of start out to do. Where with catching Ohio State and Penn State, can Nebraska do that in the recruiting living rooms? Nebraska lost a very high profile battle for an outside linebacker at the 12th hour, a kid out of New Jersey, Baptiste. Do you see Nebraska maybe winning some recruiting battles here in the future against Ohio State and Penn State?
Yeah, I think that's the plan, right? I mean, I think we're encouraged by the fact that they made so much progress this first year. I think we're encouraged by the fact that they now have a base in Florida because of happenstance that Scott was there for 2 years. He wins Coach of the Year, and so that helps us. I think we are encouraged because of the new rule. Again, I say this over and over again. I'm from the city of Los Angeles, the city of New Orleans, New York City, or wherever I'm from, urban area. And now I can come see Lincoln as a junior with my parents, paid for by the university. That's a game changer for me, because before this year, I was going to have to drive or pay my own airfare and so on and so forth. So I do think it's realistic. Now, understand this, Chris. You can win the national championship without being as talented as Ohio State. I mean, Ohio State is off the charts talented, but that's been true for 100 years, and they don't win the championship every year. When I played in the 70s, I used to watch Ohio State games saying, oh, my God, we don't look anything like that, and we won the national championship. So you don't have to look like that, but you do have to win some of those battles, and you have to have really good players. Nebraska can win the Big Ten championship and the national championship, especially under these new rules.
Coach, I've got about a minute left. Reaction to the XFL coming back.
I'll tell you, I enjoyed the heck out of it.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. It was a crazy ride. We had some meetings with Vince that were very interesting. complimentary.
Sure.
He treated us very well as coaches when the league folded. He didn't run and hide. He paid everybody. I give him a lot of credit. The Skycam is still with us. That's one thing. There's some other things that the XFL done. What I'd like to do is, and I was for this when I was in Birmingham. I know I'm going overtime. I wanted to be able to take kids right out of high school that didn't want to go to college that wanted to play in the NFL.
Wow.
I think we need a farm team. Why can they do it in hockey and baseball? Why does every kid have to go to college before he plays in the NFL if he doesn't want to go to college? It's not fair for the university. It's not fair to the kid.
Something to think about. We'll see if there's some steam with that. Coach, love catching up with you. A lot of fun to chat today. Thanks for taking a few minutes with us.
You bet, Chris. Thank you.
Take care. There he is, Jerry Donato, Big Ten Network. So a parting thought on the XFL. Pretty honest about Coach Frost and what he thought, what he's excited about for Nebraska. Then, yeah, be in it and then sustain it. He's right. You can start off hot. Can you stay hot? Ralph Brown. We'll talk recruiting with him. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back in Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Welcome in 10-year NFL vet, All-American, Husker Hall of Famer, Ralph Brown, back with us at Ralph D. Brown on Twitter. And Ralph, all over it on Twitter when it comes to his thoughts on some of the names you know from this 2018 signing day. Ralph, what's good? How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on again.
It's good to talk to you. So, if Ralph Brown could pick one name that he's most excited about in this class and this second signing day, who is it?
it's tough because it's between three guys, and it's Greg Bell, Maurice Washington, or Adrian Martinez. Those are the guys that are going to make this offense go and get the fans really excited. So if I have to pick one, I'm going to go with Adrian Martinez because I'm excited about what his capabilities are, watching him on tape with his arm strength, his elusiveness, and I think he's going to be great in Scott Frost's offense.
When you look at both these backs here, let's start with Maurice. And Nebraska got in December on him. Nebraska got in down at a pretty high-profile school down in Texas. Deion Sanders is the OC. What do you love about Washington in this offense, knowing what Coach Frost likes to do?
I like the fact that his versatility lends itself to the run and the pass game. So he's the type of back that can run downhill. He's very shifty. He loves to get north-south, but also you can split him out, throw the ball out to him on a move, and he has soft hands. So that's going to put linebackers at odds with these matchup issues when he gets into this offense.
Ralph Brown's with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Greg Bell kind of comes from a power offense. They had some spread elements to it. And, Ralph, you played against guys in practice a lot when it was elements of the triple option. You had Makovica, you had Amon, and you had Frost to deal with when they'd run the option. Nebraska isn't going to be running the old school option per se, but there's a good chance that you'll have Bell. If Martinez wins the job, you'll have him, or you'll have a threat of a run at quarterback. And Washington, what's that going to do to defenses?
Well, it's going to make it tough, and what Scott Frost does, and he maximizes, is that tempo and your conditioning on defense. But then he looks at these matchups. He's looking for speed. He looked for length a little bit, and he's looking for athletes, and he's brought that in with the early signing class and these guys yesterday that signed on a dotted line. So it's exciting to see what Scott Frost is doing with all these athletes, all this speed, and you saw what he did at UCF, and it's going to be amazing to watch in Lincoln as well.
Ralph Brown's with us a few minutes, Hale Varsity Radio. Another guy you've spent time on, Dominic Watt, the wideout, and Watt is another big-time get. What sticks out about him?
His ball-tracking ability, just down the football field, throwing the ball, just the way he catches the ball, the way he tracks it, that's one of the things that impressed me a lot. But also, when he catches the football, he runs angry, and he plays angry, and he's hungry for the end zone. One thing I saw in one of his highlights, but not one, multiple highlights, is he has a killer stiff arm that he can get people, you know, off of him and not make these tackles. So I like what he brings to the table, that speed, that physicality, that chip on his shoulder, and great ball tracking ability.
Let's go to Caleb Tanner, the outside backer from Georgia. I really loved just how he had an extra gear when he got within about 4 feet of the quarterback. I thought that was nice. We spoke with his coach yesterday, and he's really high on the Shaquem Griffin role for Caleb Tanner here at Nebraska. Ralph, when you look at, and you've played with guys like this, but the difference they can make off the edge when it comes to pressuring a quarterback, and what do you love most about Tanner if you had to pick one trait?
Well, I have to agree with you. It's just his closing speed once he gets to the quarterback. When he has about 2 to 3 steps to close on the quarterback, that gap closes very quickly. So that's the main thing I like about him. But he's just technically sound. He's an athlete. He sets the edge very well. He knows how to shed and disengage quickly as well. But he's a sideline guy. Even though he's on the edge, he can get to the other sideline and track down running backs on the backside.
A few minutes here, Ralph Brown with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Ralph, his thoughts on the 2018 class. What did you think of the secondary acquisitions that Frost made? He made a comment about how much he likes his safeties. We talked to both Camerons yesterday. Cam Jones was with us. Cam Taylor also was with us. And those were two good dudes to talk about. C.J. Smith also part of this class. The secondary, what wowed you about them?
I love it, and the one thing I really like is these guys are big, they're fast, and they're intimidating. You have Cam Jones and C.J. Smith. These guys are physical presence on the back end. They can tackle. They're great in open space with their tackling, but what impressed me as well is they're rangy. They can get from sideline to sideline, cover a lot of ground, and if you're a cornerback, you're going to love that. Your safety can sometimes get you out of a bind. If you make a mistake or you lose a step, you know your safety can be there. And if you're double-teaming somebody also, these guys are just great with their presence. They're tall, and it's going to be fun to watch them on the back end.
that's one thing that you really have to look for or be able to develop and coach up is tackling. And, Ralph, what are your thoughts on tackling from the high school talent you've seen?
Well, I think it's an average. I give it a C, and I think it's average on most levels because it's not taught that well. You're not taught to tackle with your face. And I think a lot of coaches just don't know how to teach it. So now you have guys taking risks and tackling the way they think they know how to tackle. But once you get to the college level, you have to be careful because you can be removed from a ball game just from one hit that's high on a defenseless receiver or player. Well, that's the one thing that coaches have to make sure they discipline, they implement, and they coach very well, and they get more details on how to tackle situationally at the college level.
Ralph, what type of traits do you think Frost is looking for in kids he's recruiting, kids he's evaluating? You want athleticism, but more from a personality standpoint, what do you think Frost wants when he talks about fit?
Well, I know he wants guys that are selfless, guys that are going to buy in, and also he wants guys that are focused on trying to win a national championship, just like he wants to bring back to Lincoln. If you have that with some of these young players, which I already heard some guys already talking about trying to win a national championship, bringing Nebraska back, getting the Big Ten championship. When you have players talking about that and the coach isn't, that's huge because now you know where their mindset is and it's other people talking about it, not just the coach. And that's huge when you're on a ball club.
Ralph, what's your timeline here of success? Not necessarily year one, but what are your thoughts? I mean, how quickly does Frost get Nebraska up to speed? And are you tempering expectations because it is year one and you know how transitions go? Or are you more excited that it can be a quick turnaround based on what Frost did at Central Florida? Where are you at with how soon Nebraska gets back to being Nebraska?
Well, I'm all in with Frost, and when you're a great leader, you know exactly what you want, exactly what you're going after, the exact players that you want to recruit. Everything that Scott Frost does, he knows exactly why he says it, exactly why he's bringing this specific type of player in, and I believe he can turn it around immediately this year. I think they have a great chance of going to the Big Ten championship game this year and representing the West, and I'm not just saying that based off of hype and hope. I really believe with Scott Frost's staff, the development of players, that system that's hard to stop on offense, and the talent that they'll have on defense, I don't know who is going to match them in the West and truly beat them or challenge them to get to the Big Ten championship game outside of Wisconsin this year.
How far away do you think they are from Penn State and Ohio State? Those are the two teams. Nebraska, I think, finished 21-25, depending on the service you read, ranking-wise, and Frost doesn't really care about that. But you look at where Urban is at, you look at where Penn State's at, when you look at the talent acquisition they're getting, the type of dudes that they're bringing in. For Nebraska to make up ground with those type of players they're getting, will it have to happen on field first? Or can Nebraska make inroads recruiting first, winning some recruiting battles to then win on the field? What happens first?
Well, they're going to have to win some recruiting battles. But if you look at 2019, I think that's the year where they take that step and they match up well with Penn State and Ohio State on the east side of the conference. And you'll see if Adrian Martinez is a starter, he'll be going into his second season. You'll be having Greg Bell back, Maurice Washington. All these talented players will have a second year in this Scott Frost system, and you have some juniors and sophomores that are already there that could be integral pieces on both sides of the ball. So I'm predicting this year they can truly challenge to be representing the West in the Big Ten championship, and in 2019 challenge Penn State and Ohio State. And I wouldn't count it out if they can do that stuff this year because of how fast they're moving, the type of offense they have, and what they're doing on defense as well.
So when Scott talks about just a lot of work to do and specifically some of the cultural things he's trying to flip, the weight room, Coach Duvall, and the strength and conditioning and wanting to get body types back the way they want them, is he being modest with just that assertion that, man, there's just a long ways to go? Or do you think it's a true concern for him?
I think it's a true concern. And anybody who was there playing and it was a part of that administration in the 90s knows how the administration and the way of life and just the outlook and view of being a Husker and representing that school has just basically changed and pivoted to a different direction. And as a leader for Scott Frost to say, hey, look, we have a long way. He knows he has a long haul, but if he does the right things with Moose and himself and the other administrators and the coaches, they can turn around Nebraska and get it back to what it was in the 90s. And not just winning national championships, just the mindset of being proud to be a Nebraskan and representing that state and being a Husker as well.
Ralph Brown's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Ralph, real quick, you're getting some guys ready for the NFL draft on field and off field. Tell me what you're doing today.
Yeah, so I don't actually promote this. Some agents will just call me like every year after college football season to see if I want to train or you know, mentor some of their guys for the draft. And this year I'm just training Greg Stroman. He's a starting cornerback for Virginia Tech. He's a mid-round draft pick, so I'm prepping him for the draft. But also, it's kind of an all-encompassing deal where I prep them for the draft, mentor them as well, get them ready for what they're going to embark upon while they're in the NFL, and then post NFL as well, so I can help these guys, because I went through a lot and I don't want these guys to make some of the mistakes or pitfalls that I had if I can help them.
Ralph Brown with us. Ralph, thanks for your time. Thanks for what you're doing, bud.
Yeah, always. Lots of fun.
There he is, Double Deuce, Husker Hall of Famer, 10-year NFL vet, and Ralph tutoring and mentoring many on life after football and life to get ready for football. And a good analysis on the class from Ralph Brown. Without further ado, we will get into the circus that was in Philadelphia. The absolute 180 of emotion and passion from Jason Kelce, starting center, Philadelphia Eagles. Maybe you've seen it. Maybe you heard it. Maybe you're wowed by it. But this guy played to the degenerates. Hail Varsity continues.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. It is time to get caught up with Deb the Spa Lady, Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln, a location in Omaha, spasonline.com. You know, it's been the year, well, it's really been a year and a half of the Deb the Spa Lady World Tour, and it continues with the home show. Deb, how are you?
Oh, we're doing great, but you're right. It is the weekend of the home show. Actually, it's the home shows. We're doing the Omaha home show and the Lincoln home show this weekend. So if you're either location or maybe both, you want to come see us. We've got huge displays. We've got the best deals out there, the best customer service after the sale. So we invite you to come talk to us.
So we're talking home show pricing, and we're talking the selection that it's a tub, spa, a way to relax for everyone with any budget, correct?
Anything. And anything from a two-person. We'll even have the swim spas on display. Mm. So if you have not seen one in person, you really need to come out. You will be so surprised at how awesome they are and really what a great exercise they can be year-round.
Deb, the Spa Lady's joining us, the Deb World Tour. She's at the home show in Omaha and Lincoln this weekend, spasonline.com, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln, in an Omaha location for Home Innovation Spas. Now, Deb, as rowdy as Philadelphia fans got this past weekend, I'm sure that they'll need some relaxation time. You even have a spa for Eagles fans, I assume.
We do. You know me. I can find one for anybody. So it doesn't matter who you root for. I've got a spa for you.
Well, there you go. Deb, we'll come see you at the home show. And thanks so much for jumping on with us.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Gotta love Deb the Spa Lady. And some of the Eagles fans need to soak a bit. And maybe with some of his Super Bowl earnings, Jason Kelce can dial it back. Remember seeing him after the Super Bowl? Like, choked up, hoarse voice. couldn't believe that they won the championship. Guy that wasn't on scholarship, guy that had to go Division II, guy that had to, and he's proud, and I hear him. Pretty much his folks said, no, we got you. And it meant a ton to him. I mean, everyone was cheersing him. And now he gets like full and loose with the Super Bowl crowd today as the Eagles celebrated. And here is Jason Kelce, quite entertaining, quite passionate, as he's one that let loose at City Hall today. And it was, you listen.
I know Lane and Chris just talked about this, but I don't think that it's been beat home enough. Howie Roseman, a few years ago, was relinquished of all control pretty much in this organization. He was put in the side, he was put in the side of the building where I didn't see him for over a year. 2 years ago, when they made a decision, he came out of there a different man. He came out of there with a purpose and a drive to make this possible. And I saw a different Howie Roseman, an underdog.
Ooh, the first of many underdogs. If you're at home, not driving, take a drink. Howie Rosen, Chip Kelly, that hell was real for each other. Doug Peterson gets a shout out from his starting center.
Doug Peterson. When Doug Peterson was hired, he was rated as the worst coaching hire by a lot of freaking analysts out there in the media. This past offseason, some clown named Mike Lombardi told him that he was the least qualified head coach in the NFL. You saw a driven Doug Peterson, a man who went for it on fourth and down. Super Bowl with the trick play. He wasn't playing just to go mediocre. He's playing for a Super Bowl. And it don't stop with him. It does not stop with him.
He's just warming up. Jason Kelce, a guy that needs to have a screw loose. You need that on your team. He is smart. He is passionate. He was touching and heartfelt a week after the right after the Super Bowl. And now he's got some sort of Mardi Gras costume on. Imagine this painting in your mind as he is losing his mind to the crowd. It gets worse or better, depending on your point of view. Colton, you're shaking.
I've seen most of it or heard most of it on Twitter, and I think it's like a genie costume.
I don't know what it is. It wasn't an Arizona State-Nebraska combo,
right?
Like you had on today.
It was colorful, though.
It was.
But
he lost
and so
his
was
mind.
He.
He was very. And more on Jason Kelce's thoughts on all the haters, the doubters, the roster that Philly had.
Jason Peters was told he was too old. Didn't have it anymore. Before he got hurt, he was the best freaking tackle in the NFL. Stephen Wisniewski ain't good enough. Jason Kelce's too small. Lane Johnson can't lay off the juice. Brandon Brooks has anxiety. Carson Wentz didn't go to a Division I school. Nick Foles don't got it.
I'm trying to translate that. Someone's can't lay off the juice. Might need to replay this one back. The other... Something has a dime.
What
is a dime? I need a transcript.
He said Lane Johnson can't lay off the juice. I heard that one.
Yeah.
Someone has anxiety. I heard that
okay.
one.
Okay. we edited part of this for time purposes, but we left off with the quarterbacks. But back to hunger and underdog. And Jason Kelce's circus act today.
It's the whole team! It's a bunch of driven men to accomplish something. We're a bunch of underdogs. And you know what underdogs is? It's a hungry dog. And J Jeff Stalin has had this in our building for 5 years. It's a quote in the O-line room that has stood on the wall for the last 5 years. Hungry dogs run faster. And that's this team. Bottom line is, we wanted it more. All the players, all the coaches, the front office. And that's why we're up here today, and that's why we're the first team in Eagles history to hold that freaking trophy.
He said freaking. I was able to get most, if not all, edited. Otherwise, I'm a dead man tomorrow. More from Kelsey. Underdog. Roof, roof.
You know who the biggest underdog is? It's y'all, Philadelphia.
Ah, yes, pander.
52 years. Y'all have been waiting for this. You want to talk about underdog? You want to talk about a hungry dog? For 52 years, you've been starved in this championship. Everybody wonders why we're so mean. Everybody wonders why the Philadelphia Eagles aren't the nicest fans. If I don't eat breakfast, I'm pissed off.
Well, the other theory is you're a-holes. Could be. More from Kelsey. Nobody loves him. We'll wind down a Thursday. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Miss any of the show today, welcome to check the podcast out, HailVarsity.com. Again, you can subscribe to the magazine, 855-3-HUSKER, HailVarsity.com/subscribe. And to get the recruiting issue included, Adrian Martinez is on the cover. Colton Stone, Chris Schmidt, great to be with you. Thanks to Jerry DiNardo and Ralph Brown this hour. Mike Babcock, 40 years of Husker excellence, historian, author, Hall of Famer. Babbers was with us in hour one. Got to recap some thoughts from Frost in his press conference and some of the comments the coaches made at Rococo. And can read more of that from Derek Peterson on HailVarsity.com. So that's kind of the theme of today, just the work to do, and then that expectation along with the excitement. We'll get caught up tomorrow with Derek Peterson. We'll get caught up with Jake Muehlheisen tomorrow. Mule going to be all over Nebraska and Rutgers, which is good stuff. Nebraska Hoops, we'll preview that tomorrow. And we don't want to leave you without the goodbye from Mr. Jason Kelsey as we wrap up our frightening reenactment of noon today at Philadelphia and what was going on with Philly fan and going on with Kelsey playing to the crowd, letting loose. He was sober. A lot of times you get people blasted at championship parades. And by the way, I'm not a parade guy. I hate parades. I wish they were illegal. I despise parades. Part of that's from doing the Star City Parade 1,000 years ago and freezing my off. You know, the intern gig. Yeah, I hate parades. Nebraska's always done it right, too. It's always been a celebration like PBA or Devaney Center. Mm. Those stupid parades. You're asking for problems. How many sober Philadelphians are out there right now? None. Or this week, for that matter.
Far and few between.
And think about it. You're going down Broad Street with a parade, and half the guys in Eagles gear are wearing their helmets because someone's probably tied one on to the point where they're just throwing full beers or batteries or tire irons to see if they can hit the guy in the middle. That's what they're going through. Parades are awful. No, thank you. Here is Mr. Kelsey.
No one liked this team. No analyst liked this team to win the Super Bowl, and nobody likes our fans. And you know what? I've just heard one of the best chants this past day.
It's classy.
One of my favorite, and it's new, and I hope you all learn it. Because I'm about to drop it right now. You know what I got to say to all those people that doubted us, to all those people that counted us out, and to everybody who said that we couldn't get it done? What my man Jay Ajayi just said.
Well done, Colton, with the timing. You had me sweating. He's getting a beard trim right now and a neck shave.
Ooh.
Right?
That's close.
That intensity is applauded and appreciated.
He wasn't fully sober. He couldn't have been.
No, I just think he's like, his voice is done from screaming. Okay. I think he's probably been partying. But he wasn't loaded. He was too coherent and didn't slur. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 4. We won't slur either. Thanks.